Anybody want to guess, by the way, how the court ruled on the cross motions for summary judgment? Both of them denied. Both motions denied. And the court issues this lovely opinion, right? And I'm going to give this one to Jason. This is his favorite quote in the whole Cotter opinion.
So this has been in here since the first time we ever published a speech. The jury in this case will be handed a square peg and asked to choose between two round holes. The test the California courts have developed over 20th century for classifying workers isn't very helpful in addressing this 21st century problem. Some factors point in one direction, some point another, and some are ambiguous. Perhaps Lyft drivers who work more than a certain number of hours should be employees, while others should be independent contractors. Or perhaps Lyft drivers should be considered a new category of worker altogether, requiring a different set of protections. The court in fact says the law's not built for this. We built these distinctions 100 years ago. We borrowed a lot of this from jolly old England. Like, we were not thinking about this setup, which is why there's so much litigation around classification when it comes to the gig economy. It's new. And there are courts going in every different direction, and this court said, you're both right. I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm going to let the jury look at it, and jury, in advance, I'm sorry, because this is not going to be easy for you. There is no good, clean answer. Going from there, as they're kind of coping with, you know, what do we do with this, they decide maybe we should settle. And so the parties after cross MSJs are denied, settle. When people are objecting to the terms of the settlement, they're bringing up a lot of these social concerns. These people aren't being protected. You're not resolving the problem. They're bringing up these larger structural problems with what's going on in society and the gig economy and our approach to it, to which the court says those are great arguments. You really ought to take them down to the legislative or executive branch. I'm a court. I'm refereeing a dispute. And the reality is there was risk on both sides of this for both players. And so this settlement to me is fair for the class. And so I'm going to go ahead and approve it. Because remember, you have one group of people saying, no, we're going to kill Lyft and make billions of dollars. And the court saying, maybe, or maybe I would have poured you out on a JNOV. I'm not going to say, because this gets money to people, and I'm going to go ahead and approve it. Now, what is interesting about this, as soon as Lyft continues operating, you have a new class of plaintiffs. Because it really doesn't end the inquiry. It just settles this case. And it is endemic to Lyft's model to have Lyft drivers that are not employees. One other point that they make on their way out the door is, hey, remember that when it's easy to get lost in the weeds, you really need to remember the purpose of behind all these laws, which is to protect the individuals involved. Notwithstanding that remedial purpose, we did deny cross-summary judgment, but they kind of refresh us all on, when you approach this question, it's not an abstract legal question. Which then brings us, I believe, to the more modern era of what happened after Lyft-Cotter. So I want to pause here for just a second. You have Uber and Lyft grow up. They're making money hand over fist. Everybody's aware of this. Some plaintiff's lawyers see it and go, I bet I can call those employees and make cash out the wazoo. Fighting happens. There's a bunch of stuff going on in arbitration. Fighting happens. Big one gets close to going to jury trial. Let's settle. Okay, kind of took the foot off the gas for a second. Courts, in the meantime, are starting to field these cases in other jurisdictions, and courts are getting a little more savvy about how they think about what Lyft is or what Uber is or what a favor is, and then decisions start coming out. And that brings us to Michael.
So, and what happens, in my view, is what happens is the defendant's lawyers get much smarter. The litigators on the defense side just get better and better and better at their arguments. And to be fair, to Jason's point, I think judges, as they start to actually experience what it's like to order a favor or to get some food from Grubhub or to call an Uber Black, start to get a better understanding of what's really going on out in the real world and the reality. And so what happens is the gig companies start winning. So this is Lawson versus Grubhub. This one's from the Northern District of California. So we're still in California. And Grubhub, if you guys don't know, is a service that basically delivers food, right? It's a food delivery service, very much like Favor is here in Austin. You want some food from a company, from a restaurant that doesn't deliver, you send Grubhub, they'll go pick it up for you, and they'll bring it to you. And basically what happens is the court says, look, Grubhub's not controlling the means or manner of his work, not controlling whether he worked at all, for how long, or for how often, and not prohibiting him from working for their direct competitors if he so chooses. And for those of you who have ever gotten in a Lyft or an Uber and have seen the other one's sticker up there in the dashboard and kind of laughed, right? As employment lawyers, it's really funny to me to watch this. Like, it's like I feel like I'm like walking into the Dell campus and seeing someone carry a Mac computer around and going, wait a minute, something's not right here. But you literally, I hail an Uber and the big old Lyft sign is still stuck on the front of their car. And I'm like, okay. And what the court says is, look, there is not a permanent relationship between these entities, between this person and this entity, and they're not controlling the way he does what he does. He's got to be an employee. This is in California.